it's a rare moment for me to pass up preaching on John 3:16. Most pastors have one or two reactions when they hit that path. Either no or jump in it. I'm one of the jumpers. In case you haven't figured it out, for the last 4 weeks, the call to worship, responsive reading, and either the epistle lesson or whatever pastor I use as the third, have been the lectionary pastor while we are concentrating on Matthew 5 and the Beatitudes. It just so happens that John 3 is this Sunday's lectionary gospel reading. And as much as they want to, I'm not going to. It's tough. But I'm not Billy Graham. Billy Graham, you know, I really deplore preachers who get up behind a pulpit, read one verse, and preach for an hour. The only person I know who could do that and do it right is Billy Graham on John 3:16. I'll give him credit. I can't. I'm not going to today either. We're looking at the Beatitudes. And we're looking at God blesses those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be satisfied. What does that mean? What does it mean to be righteous? Does it mean to be right? Well, let's frame that question in a biblical way. To be right, to do right is to obey, do justice, commit proper actions in varying situations. But to be righteous, on the other hand, is to have a covenant faithfulness. To be justified, traveling during your life on the road to sanctification. This is why Scripture regularly criticizes people who do things outwardly right or correct without inward righteousness. For example, the Pharisees. They're always doing things that look right. I give alms to the poor. I help widows and orphans. And yet inside, they could care less. To be righteous is referring to a state of being. It's what you are, not what you do. But it's what you do. That's later. But it's a state of being. Being rightly ordered at the core of you, who you are. Mind, soul, body, and spirit. Aligned with what's morally good and just. Living in accord with God's will, His commandments. Wrong word, but His guidelines for life. And acknowledging His absolute sovereignty. Knowing that God is in charge. Y'all realize that, right? That God is in charge. And that even though God does not want bad things to happen, does not plan bad things to happen, sometimes God lets bad things happen. Sometimes God stops bad things. Righteousness is concerned with character. We don't see much character anymore, do we? See a lot of characters, but people with character? That's personal orientation. I'm not talking about the LGBT stuff. I'm talking about orientation to other people, how you react to them. Relationship, both between each other and God. Righteousness is an ongoing, holistic kind of thing. I just can't be nice to Bob. I gotta be nice to Pat too, and to Ellie, even to Dave, and you too. Well, I'm not sure about you too, but you know, they're always stuck together. But it's holistic. It's ongoing. It's everything. It's not just momentarily. Oh, you know, if I'm nice to Bob, maybe he'll bring his Ford and his truck back on Wednesday and just spread the gravel out some more. That would be sorry being right, not necessarily being righteous. In Scripture, this is usually expressed as something relational. The righteousness piece of it. All right. A prime example was Abraham. We probably all know the stories about Abraham. You know, he got pulled out of his home country in Ur, traveled with his father, left his dad behind, went into Canaan, the whole nine yards, right? Up and down. He lied to Pharaoh. He lied to these people. He was not necessarily an upright guy. He did lots of bad things. But his faith in God was unshakable. So according to Romans 4:9, Abraham, his faith was reckoned as righteousness. His core was good. Let's unpack this. Right. To be right. To be doing right is an action. We talk about doing correct or performing an act of rightness in a specific situation. It concerns actions, decisions, or facts. And it's always based in a situational, rule-based, as in law, situation. And that's mostly from the outside. It can be either civil law, it can be canon law, like within the church, or it could be the law, capital L, meaning that which God gave the Israelites. A lot of times it's just custom, but you're used to it. Kind of like, the right thing to do is return something you borrowed from somebody. You ever loan somebody a shovel or a cake dish, and you haven't gotten it back yet in 5 years? Hey, Frank, can I borrow your lawnmower? My lawnmower. Because Frank's had it for 5 years. Borrowed it, never gave it back. In short, being right, doing right, is doing the correct thing in any given situation, whether anybody knows anything about it or not, like integrity. The key distinction between being right and being righteous is that being right is about correct actions. Righteousness is about being a correctly formed person. Right is what you do. Righteous is what you are. How many people do the right thing, but aren't necessarily righteous? Trump may or may not be a decent president. He's done a lot of things that were right. Done things that were wrong. He's done a lot of things that are right. I would bet you the one thing he would do that was right, if I walked out there and said, Trump, are you a righteous man? He would probably say no. I think he's pretty honest about himself. I think he recognizes the fact that he's not a righteous man. He's not a righteous man. But he does some things that are right. He does things that are wrong. So how many people like him that do the right thing but aren't very righteous? Lots of politicians are that. And they say one thing to get elected and they do something else. A lot of people who stand behind one of these sacred desks. That's not a Billy Graham expression, by the way. He called the pulpit a sacred desk. How many preachers do that? They might do what looks like is right, but they're not very righteous there. I just read an article on this the other day about the type of what happened to our pastor. Lots of pastors go sideways. One reason they say is that they're narcissists. Them. And they start getting to be power monks. And they like to say, hey, Dean, do this. Ellie, do that. Bubbles, supervise. You know, they like the authority. Then they start feeling entitled. And they do it without any fear, either fear of God or secular. I met this guy yesterday. He ran into the farmer's market, bought a whole bunch of peppers. I now have 6 quarts of hot peppers pickled, and three quarts of Brussels sprouts pickled on the acid. This guy was running an interesting, I'll call it a protest in Punta Gorda. All of them. And we parked the car and was walking up to him, and I wasn't quite sure what he was doing, but he's standing there, and he was standing on some kind of a case, and he had a PVC pipe and hung a banner at one of the bottom. And he had a mic kind of like this, hollering at people as he went by. And the banner was a white banner with black stuff on it. Across the bottom had big letters that said LGBT. And as people walked past, the guy said, "What's your pronoun? What's your pronoun?" Well, over the letter L, the Statue of Liberty, silhouette. Over the G was an M16. Over the B was a mug of beer. And over the T was something that needed a bra. Okay. Took me a second to catch on what he was saying, but he was mocking the LGBT crowd with those symbols. He was interested. Some people snapped at him when he said, "What's your pronoun?" Some people just kind of laughed. We just kind of passed by. Eric walked ahead of me. I just stood there looking at him for a minute. And then I caught up with her. I kind of forgot about it for a minute. We went and bought our peppers and such, and we came back, and on the way back, I walked over to talk to him. I wanted to clarify my impression. I wanted to figure out what he was doing. Because his attitude seemed very different what a first-glance impression he got by looking at his banner was. I thought I knew what it was, but I weren't sure. So it went over. And I was right. I was correct in my assumption. And we talked for a while. And he told me that he was mocking the LGBT crowd in this whole pronoun thing by using the Liberty Guns, Beer, and Brazier crew to make fun of the LGBT. He told me that he had been assaulted 15 times. I'm not sure what assault means to this man, but he was assaulted 15 times for doing this little stunt. You know what he said 15 times? By the tolerance of those people who are not very tolerant. He also told us he did 30 days in a county lockup for participating in an anti-abortion protest in Punta Gorda. He had a pistol, open carry pistol, on his hip. And I asked him what it was, and he said, "It's an airsoft." You don't know what that is? An airsoft is like a BB gun. It's a CO2 cartridge. Pellet gun. And he claimed, he claimed the Popo threatened him. Popo was a prison term for the police. The police. He said the police threatened him and said that if he was attacked and defended himself with a real gun, that he was the one who would be arrested. And that could be true. If you defend yourself with someone comes up and hollers at you and you pull out your weapon and shoot him, yeah, you're going to be arrested. But the question is, was this guy right? Was he correct? He had absolutely the right to do what he was doing, standing there and making his opinions known. Absolutely the right to do that. But was he right in the belief that he was espousing? from our short conversation, he didn't seem like he was a far-out right-wing wacko. And I'd probably agree with him on some of what he believed, especially the pronoun issue and the draconian way that's trying to be enforced. But likewise, I would agree with him on the abortion issue, except for very limited ways I don't believe in abortion. And I don't know what he did or said to provoke an assault. And I don't know what he did or said to get arrested, but for the sake of the rest of this conversation, let's just pretend and stipulate that this man was right in what he was doing, okay? I'm not saying he was, but just for sake of argument, let's pretend he was right. But was he righteously right? I don't know. His stance was correct. He was against all this pronoun nonsense. He was against abortion. He's correct. He's right. But was it righteous? I don't know. I don't want to guess. Maybe he was, maybe not. Only God and the shadow knows. Because only the shadow looks into the hearts of men. As human beings, we tend to judge people's righteousness by the right things that they do, without knowing what their real motives are. I was to judge this guy and say, he's just standing there asking people what their pronouns are. He was not being forceful, was he? He wasn't being offensive. He was just, what's your pronoun? And he would talk to people. In a short time that I saw him interact with, he wasn't mean, nasty, or anything else. This guy may be righteous. He might be protesting abominations, or it could be self-aggrandizing. Look at me. Look what I'm doing. I am so wonderful because I stand up for what's right. God knows. That's a brand new, hot off the presses, real-life example, 24 hours ago, real-life example of not knowing whether someone is righteous when you encounter them doing something that you think is right. We stipulated that in the argument, remember? That he was right. Without knowing that you are right. Again, like so many of our leaders, so-called, temporal and spiritually, people acting, remember? The verb, acting right. Correct behavior according to a standard. Obeying the rules out of fear, habit, or pride. This guy was acting within the rules, protesting in a peaceful, orderly, nonviolent manner. He focused on compliance, which is right. Still don't know what his righteousness status was. Let's forget about his action for a minute, because righteousness is based on the form. Human form, not physical form, spiritual form, aligned with God's order, covenant, and justice. Righteousness is something that doesn't pop into you. It does, actually. When Jesus comes into your life, his righteousness is imputed to you. You are made righteous then. But living a life of righteousness takes time. It grows along with faith. It grows out of grace, out of trust and relationship. Let me give you another one. This didn't happen to me. This is probably a hypothetical illustration. Ever done any kind of carpentry? Anybody ever done any kind of craft project? Everyone goes, yeah, of course you have. Oh, yeah. This is the tale of a carpenter. A good carpenter. But he's got a defective tool. He's got a ruler that's bent. And he starts building a cabinet. He picks up a board and checks it with his ruler. And it lines up. So it passed inspection. It's good. Every board he measures is good. With his warped ruler. So guess what? Every board is warped. And he finally builds a cabinet. rather than being like this, the cabinet's going to be this. It's going to be warped. It's not going to fit anywhere evenly. And he's going to take it and he's going to put it in an art gallery and say modern art and he's going to sell it for $5 million. It'll be warped. All his work will be wasted. And he probably won't even notice until it's done. Because he did everything right. He did everything correctly. He took his boards, he took the ruler, measured, cut, built. But his guide to building was a bad ruler. Think about that, a bad ruler. Crooked, warped life, bad ruler. Unlike the carpenter who was following his building plan using a warped ruler, we need to follow a straight rule. Straight ruler. And that's where righteousness comes in. Righteousness is where the heart, the character, the spirit is straight. Because without a straight ruler, without a straight rule, everything we do will be crooked. You can say that right is when an action lines up with the rules. And even though you can say that, the rule has to be a good one. It has to be a righteous one. You can say, okay, when you hit 65, everybody's got to be killed because they're too old for anything good. It's a rule. So you kill everybody over 65. Is that a good rule? No. So is that a righteous rule? No. So is anybody going out and following it, doing correct things? Yes. Are they righteous? No. Not to worry about that. But a good rule, given by a good ruler, not a bad ruler, you know who that is, works. Jesus repeatedly confronted people whose actions looked right to others, but whose inner ruler fit. Righteousness is not merely measuring up. It's being made straight in the court. And when you're straight in the court, right actions then will flow out naturally. Guided by that good ruler who happens to be Jesus of Nazareth. Messiah is our ruler. God doesn't want us just to pick up a clipboard and check off the box. He doesn't want us just to be right. He wants us to be right, but not just right. He wants us to be reshaped to the ruler so that we are straight as that. Almost done. Being both right and righteous takes sacrifice. It can hurt. Sometimes it's hard to do the right thing. And some people do the right thing for the wrong reason. Not sure if it's good or not. And some people do the wrong thing for the right reason. That's even worse. But sometimes when you do the right thing for the right reason, there are consequences. My response? I don't care. I don't care. Because I care. I don't care. You do the right thing. Jesus talked about this kind of sacrifice. In John 15, 12 and 13, Jesus said this. He's talking to his 12 apostles. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. And no one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. And that's what he did. Went to the cross for his friends, all of us. And that's what we are called to do. To sacrifice anything we have to for each other and for him and the sake of the kingdom and his people. Final thought. God does not merely call us to do what is right. He calls us to become righteous, so that what is right flows naturally from who we become, and we will be satisfied.